والسلام على رسول الله. Okay, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. To Allah, the Jalal and Muslimin. Wassalat wa salam al Rasul al Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu ma ba'd. And by the way, yes, that was pre-recorded. Obviously, I don't talk like that. We had worked that out for something to more or less start our program off and make it a little bit interesting. Because one of the things I like to do is make Islam interesting. Make it so that, as we say in Texas, get the hay down where the goats can eat it. Not that I'm calling anybody a goat. If there's any goats around here, I guess I'm probably the old goat. But in any case, what we're going to try to do tonight is talk on a subject that I think that very relevant and pertinent to the subjects that possibly you've been talking about here on your program and on the site, as well as what a lot of people are saying around the world right now, and they're asking us questions. And I'll just go ahead and tell you what happened and how it came about. We got an email. Every day, a lot of people write to us, and they ask about the different groups of Muslims. They ask about the Shiites, the Ahmadiyyans, the Qadianis, the Sufis, the Nation of Islam, the Wahhabi, the Moorish Science, the Rastafarians, 5%ers, the Midders International, the Ansar Cult, Ansar Allah, Sunnis, etc. Now, there are a lot of groups out there. But as my reader had requested, please tell me which is the right one. They said, we're new to Islam, but we don't know what to do. And which group is correct, and is there any proof? It's a good question. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessing be upon him, said, the Muslims will divide into 73 groups and all will be in hell except one, the one that me and my companions are on today. So I think that's a real good place to start, because he's already told us that we're going to divide up, and certainly Muslims have done so. He's also said that they're all going to go to hell except for one, and that's the one that he and his companions were on at that time, 1400 years ago. So one of the things that would be very important immediately is to know what he and his companions were on. And then the second thing would be to know what has been added to the various groups, and certainly to shed off the extra baggage that has been added to it. Otherwise, it would be unfortunate but true that they would be a part of the 73 going to hell. Now, let's mention that the very root of Islam will solve the problem. Okay, we go to the root, and there are some very beautiful proofs that we're going to work with. There are only two things that the Muslims will accept as absolute proof. That is the Holy Quran, which means the speech of Allah, by the way, and the teachings of Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, and those teachings of his are called his Sunnah, and they're recorded in something called Hadith, or sayings or teachings, okay? One of the most important duties of Islam is the preservation of Scripture. The Holy Quran, by the way, is still being memorized and recited exactly as it was 1400 years ago. And today we have over 9 million people, 9 million, who have totally memorized the Quran in the original language based on the teachings of Jibril, which is Angel Gabriel, to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So we can with certainty offer explanations of these two holy sources. The second one is that the same people who brought us the Quran over these last 1400 years are also the same people who memorized and taught us what Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said and did. So we rely heavily on what he said, if we can verify for sure that he really said it. Okay, and so now let's turn to our topic tonight, and the subject is which groups. I will begin and ask you to think for a moment and then ask yourself, do the words Islam and Muslim appear in the scripture of Islam, meaning the Quran? Is the word Islam in the Quran, and is the word Muslim in the Quran? And the answer is yes. And we as Muslims have been instructed in the Quran itself to resolve any of our differences in any of our matters according to these two sources, or otherwise to be considered as disbelievers by our Lord. And he has mentioned this in the Quran. This is in Surah An-Nisa, which is chapter 4, and the verse is number 65. But know by your Lord they have no iman, no faith, until they make you, Muhammad Sallam, as a judge between them in all of their disputes, and then find in themselves no resistance against your decision, and they accept with full submission. Incidentally, the word for submission in Arabic is taslima, which is one of the five meanings of the word Islam. Aslam, taslim, salam are all in the word Islam. Now let's begin by mentioning what Allah mentioned in His holy book, the Quran. Allah has called those who follow His straight path, the mustaqim, He calls them Muslims. He also says that we should not die except as Muslims. And in chapter 3, which is Surah Al-Imran, verse 102, he says, all you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and do not die except as Muslims in the state of Islam. Then in the same exact surah, Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 19, he says, inna dina inda Allahi Islam. Truly the only religion acceptable to Allah is Islam. And again in the same surah, 85, chapter 3, verse 85, he said, وَمَمْ يَبْتَقِ خَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted of them. And in the Akhirah, in the next life, they will be minul khasirin, meaning from the losers. Then in Surah 6, verse 125, Allah says, and whoever Allah wills to guide, He opens their breast to Islam, and whoever Allah wills to misguide, He makes their breast closed or constricted as though He is climbing up in the sky. And by the way, this was a miracle at that time. People didn't know that when you went up above the mountains and got up real high like an airplane, that you would feel that constriction in the chest. So anyway, continuing, he says, so Allah... put the wrath of those who believe not. Okay? Then in Surah 39, verse 22, he said, is he whose chest Allah has opened to Islam so that he is in the light of his Lord, like those who do not believe. So woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. They are in plain error. And then, in chapter 61, verse 7, Allah says, and who does more wrong than the one who invents a lie against Allah when he is being called to Islam? We'll go back to chapter 6 in the Quran, Surah 6, 162. Verily, my salat, my sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah, the Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. And then the next verse, He has no partner, and of this I have been commanded, and I am the first of the Muslims. Now in Surah Al-Tawbah, which is chapter 9 in the Quran, verse 100, and the foremost to embrace Islam of the Muhajirin, which are the people who made Hijra from Mecca to Medina. And the Ansar, those are the ones who lived in Medina and received them, and also those who follow them exactly in faith. Allah is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Allah. He has prepared for them gardens underneath which rivers flow, wherein they will dwell forever. And this is the supreme success. We'll go back now to chapter 39 of the Quran, and verse 12, Allah says, "And I am commanded in order that I may be the first of those who submit themselves to Allah as Muslims." There's the word again. And then in 22, verse 78, "And strive hard in Allah's cause as you ought to strive. He has chosen you and has not laid upon you in religion any hardship. It is the religion of your father Ibrahim. It is he who has named you Muslims." Talking about Allah, has named you Muslims both before and in this Quran, "that the messenger," meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "may be a witness over you, and you be witness over mankind." Then in Surah Al-Hisab, which is chapter 33, verse 35, I really like this one because it shows the true fairness between men and women. Listen to how Allah puts it. "Verily, the Muslim men and the Muslim women, the believing men and the believing women, the obedient men and the obedient women, the truthful men and the truthful women, the patient men and the patient women, the charity-giving men and the charity-giving women, the fasting of the men and the fasting of the women, the men who guard their chastity and the women who guard their chastity, and the men who remember Allah with their hearts and tongues as Allah has prepared for them forgiveness, and the women who remember Allah with their hearts and tongues, and Allah has prepared for them forgiveness, and for them all a great reward." I like this because it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the equal respect to both the men and to the women for their good deeds. Additionally, by the way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that as the Jews and the Christians divided into 71 or 72 sects, that you, meaning us Muslims, will divide into 73 and all of them will be in hell except one. Very similar to the hadith we began with. And that one saved sect will be those who remained on what he and his companions were on, which is the Quran and his teachings in the Sunnah. We see clearly from the above that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims and only Muslims. Additionally, when we consider that the deviant groups always have to have a name of some kind in order that they distinguish themselves from the others, we begin to see the problem. And this pattern is always there. If somebody feels it's necessary to describe himself as a certain kind of Muslim, then this is their problem, whether it's he or she. Of course, one could say, well, I'm a tall Muslim, a fat Muslim, and by the way, I am trying to lose weight, in case anybody wants to know, and pray for me. But anyway, those are identifying physical characteristics and don't have anything to do with belief. Or a person might use their country or nationality, say I'm a Muslim who comes from Pakistan or Arab Muslim, and again, this is not the same thing, or somebody's been in the Muslim Student Association, it's not a problem. The problem comes when we have an adjective related to the word Muslim, or the word Islam, that has to do with their faith or their belief. We must understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it perfectly clear, both in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sayings and teachings, that the religion of Islam was perfected and completed during the lifetime of the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that no new religion would come until the last day, and that those who followed Islam were called by Allah Muslims. And by the way, I didn't put this in the article, but I should also say that also, no new prophet is going to come either. That's for the benefit of those who think that Ghulam Ahmed was a prophet, and he wasn't. Because no new prophet would come after our beloved Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There would be the return of Jesus, and again, I didn't put this in the article because there really wasn't sufficient place for that. But do we know that Jesus Christ, peace and blessing be upon him, will return in the last days, but not as a new prophet with a new deen and a new revelation. So we'll continue. In a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drew a straight line in the dirt with a stick and said, "This is the straight path to Allah." And what he meant by that was the way of Islam. Then he drew angles or tangents to the left and right of the straight line. And he said, "These are the deviant groups or the various sects of Islam, each one has a devil calling to it. He mentioned that there would always be a main body of Muslims who would be on the straight path until the last day. Each of the faith groups that you mentioned in this letter that he sent to me had been labeled by mainstream scholars of Islam as deviant groups in degrees, from borderline to completely out of Islam. So now let's ask ourselves a question. What does the term Islam actually mean? And before we begin trying to get that kind of understanding of who's right or wrong on this issue, it's quite advantageous to spend a few minutes reviewing the meanings of the actual words which will be used in our discussion. So we'll be right back with that after this. Can also understand about these various groups. And the first word I'd like to begin with is the word Islam itself, and then the word Muslim. And these are Arabic words, they're not English, and they do not translate into a single word of English, so that means you'd have to have phrases to represent them, okay? And the word Muslim, by the way, is derived from the root Islam. So they're related. And we'll begin with the word Islam. It comes from the root, Arabic is a root-driven language. And this is a three-letter root, Sin Lam Mim, or Salama. The word Islam is coming from that root. It means surrender, submission, obedience, sincerity, and peace. Now, all of which come only by giving up the free will of the nafs or the ego in favor of the will of the creator and sustainer of all that exists. And in this case, we're talking about Allah. And if somebody uses another word to represent God, we're not going to get into that tonight. Our subject is about the means of Islam and Muslim, but certainly we're talking about the one and only God. You submit to Him. And now we should ask the logical question, what does the word Muslim mean? Again, keep in mind it's Arabic, and instead of having a suffix of ER as in English, walk, walker, talk, author, think, thinker, and so on, we would have the prefix mim or the sound of moon in front of it. So the one who makes the azan or the call to the prayer is a mu'azan. The one who makes salah or worship of Allah is a salli, so he's a musalli. Okay? And so the one who does Islam is a mu'islam. Meaning that if anybody surrenders, submits, obeys in sincerity and peace to Allah, he is one who Islams, and he is a Muslim. And by the way, we don't like the word Muslim because it implies one who does wrong or is having wrong done to them, and this is not the word Muslim, it is the word Muslim. Okay? Also, by the way, we don't like the word Mohammedans. We do not worship Muhammad. We worship the God of Muhammad, the one he worships. Just get that out of the way, okay? Not until a person gives up their free will, boy or girl, either way, they have to give up their full free will and obey Allah on His terms. And following along the orders of Jesus, even if you look to the Bible, He told the disciples to pray like this. And in part of what He told them was to say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's exactly what Islam means, God's will on earth. Also, Allah has told us in His book that all of the creation is always in submission to Him. In other words, all creation is Muslim. So how would it be if the sun looked over to the moon and said, Hey, moon, what kind of Muslim are you anyway? Are you a Shiite, a Sufi, or what? And, you know, that doesn't make any sense. They're all submitting to Allah in His term. Now let us take our religion from the original sources. That's the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Islam. And I'd like to share with you, there's a very famous story about this, and I'd like to relate it to you now. And it's the story of what I call, What Color Was the Dog? There was once a community of Muslims who were small in number, yet large in iman, their faith was very strong, And they were strong in action, so much so that the kuffar, the non-believers, couldn't defeat them in the battle, even though they had the Muslims outnumbered. One day a young man from the non-believers pretended to enter into Islam, and he went to the big sheikh, or learned person of the community, and he sat in that part of the city and listened to the teachings of this man about the Quran. The subject that he was speaking about was called Surah Al-Kahf, and that's the cave, chapter 18 of the Quran. And when the sheikh or scholar completed his talk, he offered a chance for the brothers to present questions. And when it came the turn of the disbeliever, the one pretending to be a Muslim, he asked the scholar this question. Sir, in the story of the sleepers in the cave, you mentioned that there was a dog in the cave with them. And I was wondering if I might inquire as to what color the dog might have been. I hope you don't mind my asking, especially if it is something you don't know, then that's okay, you don't have to get into it. Well, immediately the scholar says to the young man, no, that's no problem at all. Everybody should know what the color of the dog was, and of course the dog was yellow. The young man says, are you sure? I mean, could it have been another color? No, replied the old man. It was definitely yellow. And once again, the young man thanked him and went on his way. The next night, the young man went to the other side of town and sat in another gathering of knowledge, and they too were discussing different verses of the Quran. So when it came time for the teacher to give each student a chance to speak up, the young man raised his hand. He said, excuse me, sir, in the chapter about the cave, do you mind if I ask something about it? He said, go ahead. Well, the sleepers are mentioned that there's different numbers, but each sign it always gives a reference to the dog being counted with them. Now, is that right? He said, yes. I was wondering, can I ask what color the dog was? Or maybe you don't know. The scholar says, yes, of course. The dog in the story of the Quran is black. The young man was very pleased. He continued, sir, are you quite certain the color of the dog was black? Young man, I'll stake my reputation on that as a fact. Well, thank you, sir, said the young man. The next night, the same disbeliever, posing as a Muslim, went to the first scholar again, and then when it came time for question and answers, he raised his hand and said, excuse me, Sheikh, Allah reward you for all your effort and knowledge and for sharing it with us. Could you maybe remind me about the answer the other night I asked you about the color of the dog in the cave in Surah Al-Kahf? The Sheikh said, there is no doubt whatsoever amongst the great scholars of Islam on this question. The dog was yellow, and anyone who says other than this has no knowledge. And with that, the young man speaks up again and says, sir, what would you say if someone else said that he would stake his reputation of being a scholar in Islam on the fact that the dog is not yellow, but rather that the dog is most certainly black? The sheikh turned and replied, then his reputation is not that of a scholar, but one of an idiot. Now the next time the disbeliever went back to the sheikh on the other side of town that had the opinion about the black dog, he told the sheikh what the other man had said on the other side of town, and that he was calling him names and said he was an idiot. Said he had no knowledge about us now, and for sure the dog was yellow. Well, the old man became angry and shouted, you tell him that I said he is one without knowledge. I'm the one who graduated from the greatest of the schools of Islam. Well, in fact, he is nothing but a fool. The plan was working. Before long, the community was divided into groups, each one claiming that their sheikh was better than the other sheikh, each saying the other one had more knowledge than the other. Fighting broke out in the streets. Muslims began attacking each other all over the city. Everyone became involved to the extent that there was not a single person who was excluded from this terrible situation. Screaming, shouting, hitting, and fighting were going on everywhere. And then it happened. Then the disbelievers came down with full force on all the people and defeated them horribly. And the young man in the front of them hollering, let's go fight them now, because you'll find them most easy to defeat. And that is exactly what they did. Now may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such fitna and tribulations, ameen. Let us now consider the same concept and apply that to the various groups which come along claiming that they are the same sect. If it was not revealed during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if it was not something done by his companions, may Allah be pleased with them all, then why would we want to incorporate it into our deen of Islam? While Allah has clearly stated in his book, in Adina, in the Lahi Islam, that's chapter 3, verse 19, And then he says that certainly the only being acceptable to him is submission of Islam. In other words, you have to submit your will. And in Surah Maidah, and I love this, he says, Al yawm wa akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum Islam deena. On this day, I have perfected your way of life, your religion, for you, conferred my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your way of life. Sometimes translated as religion when they say deen, but it really means way of life. May Allah make us avoid all of these divisions and separations and to stay on the real Islam as real Muslims are in. If you'd like more information on this subject, we invite you to write to us, and you can do so by going to our website, islamtomorrow.com, and look for the top of the pages where it says email, send me email, or you can write to Sheikh Yusuf at AOL.com. That's SHEIKYUSUF at AOL, AmericanOnline.com. And I'm sure, by the way, that I've probably made a lot of mistakes and errors, and I appreciate any advice you can give me to do a better job at what I'm trying to do to show Islam in an easy way in plain English. So, may Allah guide all of us and keep us strong in Islam, and forgive me for any mistake, and make us on the Surat al-Mustaqim. Until next time, this is your host, Sheikh Yusuf Estes, telling you Allah is peace, and may his peace be upon all who believe.